Hi everyone. Welcome back to The Body Never Lies. Today I'm going for another solo episode. I hope you really enjoyed my first one where we talked about thyroid health and the ways that I work with clients with thyroid issues and how I test the thyroid issues. Today I want to talk about something a little bit more personal. So I think I'm going to alternate between the two, talking about specific issues with clients and then talking a little bit about my own health journey, because I see from Instagram, and if you're not following me on Instagram, my handle is at Leela Lutz. I noticed that you're all really interested in my health journey, and I feel like here I'll be able to go into it in depth a little bit more. And I hope that you following along will inspire you to make really good choices for yourself in your health journey. So I said it in my interview with Hattie Boyle, and I said it quite a lot on the gram, that despite having 30% body fat, I have decided not to do a fat loss phase. And today I'm going to go in depth into why that is. And I'm really passionate about this particular topic, not just thyroid health, but this particular topic, because our constant misunderstanding, and this is due to the fitness industry and the health industry and the medical industry, quite frankly, selling us this belief that skinny equals healthy and that always eating less is better and always exercising more is better. And people are stuck in a place of disempowerment, I believe, and always chasing skinny and getting smaller. And a lot of health issues are coming out of that. Pretty much all of my clients have at some point dieted, or they have been really lean and living in a state of low energy availability their whole entire life or for long periods of time. And that has contributed majorly to their health issues. So this is something I'm hugely passionate about, and this is what I'm going to go in today, is do you really need to lose weight, and is your body ready to lose weight?
Welcome to The Body Never Lies. I'm your host, Leela Lutz. Each week, myself and experts from around the world help you uncover the secret ways your body communicates with you to empower you in your own individual health journey.
So let's just talk about, first of all, this idea that fat is unhealthy, or having body fat is unhealthy. People, I can't believe it. I was talking to a dad at school pickup yesterday, and his GP, he told me, had basically said to him, if you want to be healthy, if you want to live long, you basically just need to be a rake. You need to just be really skinny. And that was really interesting hearing that from a man, because I've had countless clients who are women, and their doctors constantly said to them, look, all of your health problems would go away if you just lost weight. Now, this is a very blanket statement, and it is not true. I'm just going to say that it is not true. And I want to talk about that in depth today. So the first thing to understand is, when we say a certain body weight is not healthy, is that really true? So our body composition is made up of our bones, our skeletal system, our fascia and our connective tissue, and our organs and our muscle mass. And they all weigh something. And then on top of that is our fat mass. Okay. Now, we can also have low body weight because we're under muscled, and we can be overweight and have low muscle tone as well. Muscle is super, super important, because muscle is actually where our metabolism lies. Our muscle stores glycogen, so it stores energy for us to use. And when we exercise, we burn mostly glycogen. And so our body goes to our muscle tissue to get that glycogen to fuel our exercise, our running around and doing errands, all of those things. We actually burn fat when we're at rest, when we're in a recovery state. So it's really important to have enough muscle mass. This is also where we still have all our mitochondria. And this is where we can have more cells that can take more energy, that can continually renew and keep us young and have all this longevity. So if I don't have a lot of muscle mass, I actually can have a lot of health issues. And we are seeing in the research that people who have low muscle tone can have just as many health issues, different ones, as people who are overweight or have a high fat mass. So it is not true to say that just having low body weight is going to be healthy. So muscle is super important. The other thing that's really important is that when you are in states of pseudo-starvation or you have chronically dieted time and time again, or you live in a constant caloric deficit, and a lot of people do, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is that our organs actually decrease in size and weight. So in dieting, chronic dieting, starvation, the liver actually decreases by around 60%. The intestines decrease by about 40%. So you can imagine if all of your organs are getting shrinking in size due to a lack of fuel, then your body weight is going to decrease because all of those organs getting smaller are going to weigh less. And this is something that I see in people who are really lean, like that kind of model catwalk looking lean, is that they have really low muscle tone and they also will have really small and organs that weigh a lot less. And that's how they get that low body weight. So I can imagine that you guys can think that a liver, that it's full size, and a liver is our battery pack. It stores glycogen. It provides us with energy. You know, it has to break down cholesterol. It has to convert thyroid hormone. It has all these things to do. I'm sure that you guys can imagine if it's full size, it's going to be able to perform at its capacity. So when we have someone who has been chronically under-eating or they don't eat carbohydrates, their liver can be really small and dysfunctional. And then we can have issues like non-alcoholic fatty liver disease in skinny people, okay? So this is really important that we are well-fed and our organs weigh enough. So it is not necessarily true that weighing less is healthier. And I can't tell you how many clients I have who are women who have this constant fixation with being a size 6 or a size 8. They weigh 5, sometimes 10 kilos less than the recommendation for someone at their height to weigh. And they have chronic health issues and no one's ever asked them how much food they eat. Okay. And there's just this constant assumption that being skinny is healthy. And so no one's ever asked them what they eat because they're like, well, you're skinny, so you obviously don't eat junk food, crack or whatever, so there's nothing wrong with your diet. We can look at the Minnesota starvation experiment, and you guys can go over to the Strong Sisters and listen to a whole series that they did on their podcast about the Minnesota starvation experiment, where they looked at a group of men who were eating 1,700 calories and all the physiological responses that happened to their bodies from being in that low-calorie state. I called it a starvation, pseudo-starvation experiment, but the truth is most people eat that much dieting or just on a regular basis. So it's really interesting to go and have a listen to that podcast. So that's the first thing I wanted to clear up. Low body weight is not necessarily healthy. And we know this as well because, you know, people who are lean suffer from more issues like osteoporosis and fractures of bones. And that's literally because when you don't have enough food, your body literally eats itself and breaks itself down to make energy. Okay. So it's pulling minerals and nutrients out of the musculoskeletal system to try and function on a day-to-day basis. Okay. The second thing I want to talk about is this idea of fat not being healthy. Body fat percentages are something that are very confusing for a lot of people. And this is not helped by the health and fitness industry, especially in places where people are getting body scans with their PTs in their fitness studio, and they're coming up with 30% body fat on their body scan and being told that 30% is not healthy and so they must lose weight. I'm just going to say something here that's not going to be very nice, but I honestly feel it's the truth because it was the same for me in the beginning of my career. We, as personal trainers and even going into nutrition, unfortunately, personal trainers are generally quite lean and fit people. And in the early days, I didn't have the maturity to do anything that was outside of what I was doing for myself. So I was lean, and all of the focus on nutrition in our training was about weight loss. And so I just also assumed that everyone who was lean was healthy, and that having 30% body fat was not healthy. And it's a big problem in the fitness industry. And I actually had a trainer admit it a few days ago. I don't really know how to do weight loss. I don't know how to do anything else. So if you don't need to lose weight, I don't know what to do. I'm so glad that he had the courage to say that to a client, and she was able to then go and seek some guidance from someone else, being me. But this is so important to realize the limitations and the problems with that view in that industry. So I would say, and I will, I should put up a little picture of this. There is no, I would say 25 to 30% body fat is actually a normal amount of body fat, okay, for a woman. 25 to 30%. And that is going to shock a lot of you. What I'm seeing problems is people getting to 30% body fat and losing weight and doing it in a really unhealthy way, and then losing a lot of muscle mass at the same time. And we're having this problem of people getting skinny fat. Okay, so they're skinny, but they still have fat. And so in that instance, they're losing muscle mass, they're losing organ mass, water, glycogen storage, and not just fat mass, okay? It is normal to be between 20 to 30%, 25 to 30% body fat if you are female. If you would like to be less than that, you really need to have the muscle mass to earn the right to be less than 25% body fat. People who are 20% body fat, they're people who are healthy women that can be healthy and maintain 20% body fat, are athletes. And athletes have a significant amount of muscle mass. And what you will see is with that muscle, and people say that muscle weighs more than fat. Well, that's not true. 1 kilogram of muscle weighs the same as 1 kilogram of fat. But 1 kilogram of muscle takes up a lot less space, like half the space, than 1 kilogram of fat. So when you have a lot of muscle mass, you will look smaller, but you will weigh more on the scale. And so all of these people that are sitting in that camp of, you know, when I put up the numbers of normal body weights for height, all of the people sit below that, the reason you sit below that is because you are under-muscled and your organs are too, your organs weigh less as well because they're not fed and really functional. So that is really important. If you are working with someone and you have 30% body fat and you want to have less body fat, you need to make a correct decision in whether you actually need to put more muscle on or if you do need to lose body fat, okay? So when we talk about fat as well, I want to really make it known that we need to differentiate between fat around our body, subcutaneous fat that sits under our skin, and visceral fat, which is the fat that surrounds our organs, okay? Visceral fat is the unhealthy fat. You can be skinny and have a lot of visceral fat, and you can also be overweight and have normal amounts of visceral fat, okay? One of the reasons why we can have too much visceral fat is because in states of low calorie, pseudo starvation, the organs are getting into distress and the visceral fat can surround the organs to try and keep the organs warm so they can function better. It's a mechanism it's a metabolic adaptation from not having enough food. And we see this a lot in recovering anorexics, especially when they go through that refeeding process. And I've seen it a lot in clients who undereat. And this can only be picked up on something like a DEXA scan. So the visceral fat is the unhealthy fat. Now, just because you have an excess amount of visceral fat doesn't mean that you need to diet either. Okay, that is really important to make that clear. So this is why I really like using DEXA scans with all of my clients to get a true picture of their body composition. If you are over 30% fat, I'd probably say over 35% body fat, this is not good for your health. And these people, we see things like insulin resistance or an ability to switch between burning carbohydrates and fat. And I see this a lot now in the pro-metabolic space where people have discovered that they were not eating carbs and that was contributing to a lot of their health issues. And they jumped straight on the bandwagon and just gone and eaten all the carbs, and they put on a massive amount of fat and they've basically made themselves insulin resistant. So this is not a healthy amount of fat, but I'm going to talk about losing body fat when you have a high body fat percentage in another episode, because I really want to dedicate a whole episode to that, because this is an area that has a lot of misconceptions around it as well. So when I look at my body composition, yes, I have 30% body fat, but my visceral fat is completely normal. So visceral fat is measured in square centimeters on the DEXA scan, and normal is anything under 100 square centimeters, and mine is about 70 centimeters. So for me to say that I am carrying unhealthy fat is just simply not true. And I think this is so important to clear this up, right? And then we need to look at if someone actually truly overeating, right? There's an assumption that fat, we put on fat because we eat too much. And so the solution to get rid of the fat is to eat less. So I want to challenge you on this as well, because this is the main narrative of the fitness and wellness industry. And this is truly what is making people really unwell. All of us have the power really to stop eating or eat less. And all you just do is have the willpower or white knuckle through it and eat less. Everyone can do that. There are very few people who can actually eat enough food and know how much they need to eat on a day-to-day basis. And this is the reason why people diet over and over and over again. They will do something like give up carbohydrates or go vegetarian and lose a lot of weight in the process of that. And I want to point out here that that's not necessarily because carbs make you fat or meat makes you fat. It's because when you do that and you cut out a whole bunch of food groups, you go into a caloric deficit. You eat less calories than you would when you were eating carbs or you were eating meat. It really is important to ascertain what people are eating and whether they're eating enough for their energetic needs. So when people diet, they stop dieting, or so they say, well, I've done the diet, I've lost the weight that I wanted to lose, I'm going to start eating carbohydrates again, or what, I'm going to just eat normal, or whatever they're going to do. They just go back to what they were eating before, or in the process of cutting out those food groups, they've had or leading that low in calories, they've had an adaptation to that where the metabolism has slowed down to make up for the lack of food. And that's generally because the diet's been too severe or the person wasn't resourced in a state of good nutrition before they went into the dieting phase. And so the body has gone into preservation mode. And so your metabolic rate actually lowers significantly. They showed this in The Biggest Loser. Like, The Biggest Loser is actually a great show in that, because we can't actually do experiments on people like that. It would be considered illegal. But all these people on the show signed up for this extreme diet and extreme exercise. And pretty much every Biggest Loser contestant has put all the weight back on and more. And this is because of this reason. The diet was so severe. There was no refeeding process at the end of the diet. They just went back to normally what they normally ate. And the problem is if your metabolism drops even lower than it was before, what you normally ate now becomes even more in excess of calories than what you were eating before, if that makes sense. So we know from so many studies that every time you diet, if you are not really specific and strategic about it, you do slow down your metabolic rate. And it does not return unless, of course, you are working with someone who helps you restore it or you strategically reverse diet out of that back up to maintenance calories. So my first question when someone says to me they want to lose weight, is it really true that they need to lose weight? What's their body composition? And my second question is, what are they eating now on a day-to-day basis? And how many diets have they done in the past? So I always get them to do a food diary. And what I'm looking for is to see what they're, I don't want them to change anything, make anything up. I just want them to show me what they're eating now. And this is really important because if you make a change without assessing where you're at, this change can be way too stressful on your body. Okay. This is what we're seeing with the pro-metabolic people who are going all in with the carbohydrates and not realizing that you have to slowly increase them over time. It's always important to make this assessment. So I can't tell you how many people come to me and they do that first food log and they're severely under eating and they can be overweight, underweight, any kind of body composition, and they're not eating enough food. So this is something that I really want you to get honest with yourself. Do you eat enough food? And have you seriously, for any length of time in your life, eaten enough food and eaten enough healthy food? So I'm not saying talking about people eating McDonald's. And obviously there are people who do truly overeat. But again, I'm going to come back to them in another episode because it needs to be addressed in a different way. So one of the best ways to work out how many calories you should be eating is to go to the TDEENet.calculator and input your height, your age, height, weight, and your activity. And it does give you a pretty good indicator of what you should be eating, right? Another way to work it out is if you do have a DEXA scan, that again, you need to have enough muscle mass and be, you know, in a good range for your height as well, is that we generally need to be eating 45 calories per kilo of body weight just to fuel our body on a day-to-day basis. So if you look at your lean mass and times that by 45, that's how much you need to eat basically just to survive. And then we need more on top of that in terms of exercise. But this is another one where Chronometer is really helpful as well, because you can input all your activity into Chronometer and input all your food, and it will tell you, are you eating as much as you are outputting? So yes, you do need to be in a caloric deficit to lose weight, but to be able to maintain your weight and maintain function, you need to be eating enough food. And if you can't sit in that maintenance healthily, then you will be constantly doing this yo-yo dieting thing. Another thing is that if you have constantly dieted and never gone back up to proper maintenance strategically, you will probably be overweight or heavier than you want to be and unable to lose weight unless you take seriously extreme measures, and that's not healthy either. Or you might notice that you eat undereat when you do this and you're like, but I'm overweight. How can I be overweight if I undereat? So if you do this and you're not eating enough, it's time to get really real with yourself. You really need to work with someone and spend time to reverse diet, to work yourself back up to eating enough calories. Now, I've spent years of my life under eating, not because of wanting to lose weight, but because I grew up in a household where we didn't have enough food scarcity, and the belief that having too much food is selfish, and because there are so many poor people in the world, poorer than we were, are real drivers for the low eating when I was a kid and economic reasons. And then as I got older, I was such an adrenaline junkie in that I used adrenaline to fuel me, and I used it to achieve, and I used it to get out of my situation that I grew up in and start my business and achieve everything that I did. By the time I was in my mid-20s, I had a really successful business. I had bought my own property, all of these amazing things. But I used to just work my ass off, train my ass off, and I should have been eating about 2,800 calories, and I reckon I ate maybe 2,000 calories every single day. If you've been enjoying all the episodes of The Body Never Lies, but you're wondering, Leela, where do I even start with implementing all these great things that I'm learning? Well, I've created something just for you, and I'm so passionate about you getting access to it that I am giving it away for free. The Body Never Lies Insights course helps women over 35 who are sick of all the tests with no answers uncover the root cause of their long list of unexplained symptoms with a scientifically proven self-assessment tool. Over 4 live workshops, I'm going to take you through the assessment that I take every single client through to help them establish where they are truly at with their health. The assessment includes all the things that their doctor and quite a lot of other practitioners, to be honest, have never asked them, and will leave you feeling 100% certain that no, it is not all in your head. Your body never lies. Whether you've been eating clean and self-researching for years, maybe you're sick of giving up all of the different food groups, maybe you've tried a few pro-metabolic approaches and it's made you worse, or even if you've just arrived at a crossroads of knowing you need to do something different for your health and you don't know where to start, this assessment tool is for you. If you want to get this for free, and I probably won't do this again, then head over to thebodyneverlies.com.au and register now. We are starting on January 15, so you can make 2025 your best year yet. Of course, places are limited, so make sure you get in because it is first in, best dressed. And again, because I had always learnt that, you know, you focus on nutrition with clients who want to lose weight, I never really stopped to think maybe I didn't eat enough food and that's why I was so thin. But I'd always been thin my whole life. So, and that's another thing I hear from people. And I also felt like I ate a lot and I ate all the time. But when I look back at what I eat, it wasn't calorically dense. I would go for really long periods without eating. I could eat very little during the week, but then I could eat a huge amount on the weekend. So everybody thought I ate a lot too, because socially I would go out and I would eat a ton of food when I was around other people. So when I look back at my life, I have to be honest and say that I'd never ate enough food. I didn't eat enough food, and I didn't actually pay attention to eating enough food until I was in my mid-30s and I wanted to get pregnant. The 35 years of under-eating, not intentionally, but 35 years of under-eating is a huge amount of pressure that I put on my system. So I also had a couple of periods in my life where I went through a huge amount of stress and I lost a significant amount of weight. And I weighed, I'm 5'9", and a couple of times in my life I actually weighed as little as 52 kilos. And I had also a jaw issue that I had treatment for, and there was periods that I just couldn't eat because my jaw was so sore. And in those periods I got down to very, very low body weight as well. So I've had this history of constantly under eating, even though I wasn't intentionally under eating. And I think that's really important to note, because in our society where we really put emphasis on achievement and busyness and being skinny, you know, everyone used to praise me for how great my figure was. I used to model. Like, there was so much praise and pride attached to that, that this becomes the way people live and we ignore what's really, really going on for ourselves. So when I sat down at the beginning of this year and thought, am I, you know, should I be doing another fat loss phase? Well, to be honest, I did do a fat loss phase and I have lost 20 kilos. And we'll touch on how I put on so much weight in another episode. But I put on 20 kilos. I put on 30 kilos after Shanti was born because of all of this chronic dieting and then having a baby and living in a house full of mold. It just all tipped me over the edge and my system came crashing down. I did lose 20 kilos. But when I went to lose weight at the beginning of this year, the methods that I had done before did not work. And that is because I've exhausted my metabolism again. And when I sat down, I thought, you know what? I'm really good at pre-planning my food. And when I'm logging, I'm really good. But when I'm not logging, I know for a fact that I don't eat enough, especially carbohydrate. So I had to get really honest with myself. I didn't log at all last year and I maintained my weight, but I would say that I probably still undereat here and there. And I looked back also at my data and I looked at a phase where I'd done a build phase, so trying to put on more muscle mass. And I wasn't successful at that build phase and I have to ask myself why. And if I look at my food log and I look at this equation of 45 calories times kilos, I didn't really take the time to push my food up high enough. Now, I am not saying that you all need to be ripped and jacked, okay? That is a certain aesthetic and that is not for everyone and I totally get that. But we do need to have a certain amount of muscle mass for our height, our body frame, just for health reasons, right? For metabolism, to thyroid. And so I know what that number is for me and it's not jacked, but I know what it needs to be for a minimal. And if I was totally honest with myself, I know that I am undereating. I've still been undereating, probably not a huge amount, but like 200-300 calories. And I also wasn't consistent enough with my training. And that's something that I really had to face up to as well, is that I'm really good at putting everybody else before me and then not getting to the gym just because I was doing everything for everybody else. And I've really had to do some work on some trauma around deserving to have things for myself, deserving to have time. The gym, even though it's like my passion, you know, I've been a strength and conditioning coach for 20 years, I still felt like I had to deserve to go because I was that firstborn daughter and I had a lot of responsibility in my childhood. So I've had to do a lot of work on that. So when I really looked at those two things, I was like, I actually don't deserve to diet. I don't have the resources to diet and I haven't put in the behavior of someone who maintains athletic or lean body composition. I haven't set up those day-to-day behaviors of that person. And so I'm very conscious about this and I'm also very passionate about this with my clients. If you want to achieve a goal, you can't just have the thing. You need to set an example of being able to do all the things that a person who has achieved that goal would do. And this is where you look at someone like Libby or Kitty or Amy, you know, my three really good friends who have great body composition. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean that you're going to get jacked like Amy and Libby and Kitty, okay? First of all, they have both all been training for years and years and years and years. Their passion is training and they want to be that muscly, okay? I'm not saying if you do this, you're going to end up being that muscly. There's nothing wrong with being that muscly. I just have so many women say, oh, I don't want to be muscly like that. So I'm just putting this out there. You don't have to be. But what I want you to notice is their habits and their actions that they take every day to live with that low percentage of body fat. they all eat probably around, well, Libby said it the other day on her Instagram, she eats 2,800 calories a day. Kitty eats 2,800 calories a day. Okay, they're both very similar to me in height. I think Kitty's an inch shorter than me, Libby's an inch taller than me. And they train every single day and they do also a lot of recovery. They go to bed and get 8 hours of sleep every night. You know, there's all of these things they do to achieve that low body fat percentage. So I want, and a big thing that they do is they eat a lot of food. So this is my challenge to you is, have you taken that, have you looked at the TDEE.net calculator? Or have you taken that equation, 45 calories times per kilo of body weight? And so you could do it per kilo of goal body weight. So my goal body weight is between 65 and 70 kilos. I'm 5'9". Per kilo of body weight, you know, that's a lot for 2,800 calories. Have you ever eaten that much food? And I would say that you actually need to eat that much food for a good 6 to 12 months. And also, you can't just go and eat that much food because you'll put on weight. You actually need to have a strategy to reverse diet up to that amount of food. So I have honestly not eaten that, not eaten 2,800 calories consistently. If I'm completely honest with you, I can eat 2,200 calories consistently without thinking about it. And I know, so at the moment, I at least need to get up to 2,500. So when I look at my chronometer and it tracks my output, I am outputting between 2,500 and 2,800 calories per day. So my first goal is to reverse up to those numbers. And for me, that's a big deal. Like, not a big deal, but it's really taken a lot of effort and focus and consistency. So that's number one, looking at the body composition. Is it true that you need to lose weight? Is it true that your body fat is unhealthy, or do you need to put on muscle mass? And do you eat enough food on a day-to-day basis to match the output that you put out? Then the third thing is, are you consistent with your training and are you putting in the exercise and effort that is required to have the body that you want to have? Okay. So this is really the next thing that I want to talk about, exercise and the look, right? Okay. If you want to be toned, you need to have muscle. Okay. There's two ways that you can get that look. You can starve yourself like a supermodel so that all of your water and fluid is drained from your body. And this is what bodybuilders do. And you can literally see the muscle that is just sitting there, like you're stripped of water and nutrition. And so you can see the muscle. So there's always going to be muscle there. Otherwise your skeletal system would just fall over. But so you're basically stripping your body back so you can see this minimal amount of tissue, right? And this is where people think, oh, well, I can only achieve that when I am this low body weight. When I put on weight, I look fat. You don't look fat. It's just that you now are not starving and have stripped back everything so you can see your skeletal muscle. Okay. That is super important. If you want to have tone in a healthy way, you need to put on some muscle. Women don't like thinking about putting on muscle. They think it's not feminine. They think that it's masculine, that it's, I don't know, they just have all of these negative associations with it. But if you want tone, you need muscle. Otherwise, you have to starve yourself and do what bodybuilders do before a show, is they deplete themselves of hydration and nutrition to get their muscles to pop, what muscles they have to pop. And if you want to have low body fat and be healthy, you need to have enough muscle mass. And then your body can store enough energy in glycogen stores in the muscle. It won't need the fat stores for emergency. Okay. So this is something that you need to get real with also, because the only way that you can put on muscle is by loading up with mechanical tension, i.e. doing a strength training progress. Okay. You're not going to get some muscle If you're new to Pilates, you'll get some muscles. You're new to yoga, new to weights. But if you truly want what Kitty and Libby have, which is, and Amy, is the ability to go on holiday and eat whatever they want when they're on holiday and come back and not have to do a diet, that is putting on enough muscle mass and increasing your metabolic rate. So you need a strength training program. If you don't like exercise, that is fine, but you have to accept that you're not going to have muscle tone and be healthy, okay? A lot of the clients that I work with don't want to do exercise. That's okay. But a lot of them have also come to accept that sitting around 25% body fat is going to be as low as they can go unless they're prepared to do strength training, okay? And probably some of them will sit around the 30%. And this is where most of my clients who aren't doing strength training get pregnant, is about 25 to 30%, unless they have significant muscle mass, they can sit below that 25%, okay? With exercise though, okay, so you get muscle when you get strong. So this is where I want to say, well, what is strength and what is a normal amount of strength? Because you need to get honest with yourself and set yourself some strength goals. So the first thing I want to ask you, can you squat, deadlift, bench press your own body weight or your goal body weight? So my goal body weight, 65 kilos. Can I squat, deadlift and bench press 65 kilos for 8 to 10 reps? That's just a normal strength, right? And then if I wanted to be super strong, I would go 1.2 times my body weight, 1.5 times my body weight, right? A lot of the people I work with can't do this, but they want the look that comes with being able to do this. If I'm really honest, I can hip thrust 100 kilos, so well over my strength goal, and I can deadlift 80 kilos, so again, well over my strength capacity, sorry, baseline level of strength. But my squat sucks. It absolutely sucks. And no, I cannot squat 65 kilos easily and effortlessly for 8 to 10 reps. So that's something I chose to look at. Second thing is chin ups. You should be able to chin up your own body weight. So chin ups without assistance. I used to be able to chin up before I got pregnant. And I had, as I said, quite a lot of extensive work on my jaw. It has reset my whole upper cervical spine. And now I've had a couple of frozen shoulders in the last few years. And I need to retrain my whole neck and shoulder complex to accommodate for the changes that I've had to my jaw. I'm trained to do this as a level 4 chiropractic practitioner. I've been avoiding it. I've been avoiding it because my ego has just been so scarred about not being able to do all these things. So no, I can't bench press my own body weight. I can't do full body weight push-ups, and I can't do full chin-ups either. And so if you don't want to do full chin-ups, that's fine. But I would say a beginning level of strength for shoulder health would be to be able to hang for 1 minute. So just put your arms up in the air, hold onto a bar, feet off the floor, shoulder girdles in the right position, not hanging off the joints. You should be able to hang for 1 minute. I cannot tell you how good your shoulder health will be if you can do that. So these are the things that I would be ticking off. Like, do I need to lose weight or do I actually need to focus on putting on muscle and getting really strong? In terms of fitness, a lot of people think that being able to run for a certain amount of time is a sign of fitness. I can't tell you how many clients I have that can do that. They cannot control their breathing or get into a restful state with their respiratory system when they're sitting there doing nothing. Okay. We don't get fitter and stronger when we're in the gym. We get fitter and stronger when we're at home in the recovery state. So your fitness is going to be dependent on you being able to get into the recovery state. So I always want to know, what is your rate of breaths per minute? So just sitting there, breathing in and out day to day, how many times do you breathe in and out per minute? It should be around 12 beats or less. I check this with my clients without them even knowing about it. It is better to do it that way because obviously once you know, you can forcibly slow your breath down. My Garmin takes that for me. It's not going to be 100% accurate, but it does tell me that it's around 12. Obviously, it gives you an average. So when I'm talking to you right now, I'm going to have a lot more breath per minute. But when I'm sitting at rest or sleeping, it's going to be super, super low. So it gives you an average. So you need to be careful because that's not necessarily a true average if you've been talking all day. So I'm looking at the breaths per minute. The next thing I want to know is can they breathe in and out through their nose only and walk and keep their heart rate in zone two? I have a lot of clients that can't do this. They can run for an hour, 2 hours, but they cannot walk and keep their mouth closed and breathe in and out to account of four in, four out, and literally hyperventilate. 10,000 steps per day, mouth closed, breathing in and out through your nose. Second one I like to see cardiovascular-wise, can you get into a steady state? So about, for me, that's 135 beats per minute. You can look up what your range is, or I might do a little handout and send it to you. If you are, send me an email. If you can breathe with your mouth closed and keep your heart rate at a steady 135 beats per minute for half an hour of steady state cardio, that is another sign of fitness. This, my clients spend a few weeks, sometimes a couple of months working up towards. Then in terms of HIIT training, when you are doing HIIT training or in a strength training session, you will have moments where your heart rate gets up into zone three, zone four. So mine will get up to, you know, easily 170 in a HIIT session. What happens in between those intervals? Can you get back down to a zone two heart rate in between sets in the gym, in between these HIIT intervals in a relative amount of time? Another measure of fitness. So with all those things in mind, you might actually want to work on your fitness and your strength before you lose weight. So I don't have any challenges with my fitness. I show all of the signs of having good fitness system, but my strength is not there. And also I have never achieved that goal of actually putting on muscle mass. The other thing, of course, I talked about this in the episode on thyroid health, is your body temperature and pulse. Do you have good metabolic health? Go back and listen to that episode where I give you the explanation on that. But do you have a armpit temperature of 36.7 or 98.8 degrees upon rising? Does it increase throughout the day? Does it increase in your menstrual cycle? And when you exercise, does it, after exercise, not straight away, maybe, or if it's a new program, you might see it elevate for a day or two or drop for a day or two, but can you, after stress, return to a normal basal body temperature? Some of you are going to be running super cold, like in the 35s, low 36s. It needs to be 36.7. All this shows me with your ability to create, to deal with stress, the ability to, because dieting is a stress, right? Where we take food out and we force your body to burn fat as fuel. This is a stressful state. So we need to be able to cope with stress, and we need to be able to also be in the state of recovery and homeostasis to actually utilize that fat as fuel. So these are all the things that we're testing before we go into a fat loss phase. So I am, at the moment, if you're following me on Instagram, working my way up to 2,500 calories. In 2 weeks, I'll be up to 2,500 calories. I am going to see how I go with my output on chronometer and see if I should go up any more than that. I have a feeling I might. Once I find the threshold, So I'm basically testing, making sure that I'm not putting on any body weight and increasing slowly over time. You need to do this super slow. Like, some people need to do an increase of only 25 grams of protein or carb, which is 100 calories every week. Some people need to do that every 2 weeks. Some people do that every month, depending on how much work needs to be done with the physiology. So we need to do this strategically over time. And then I really want to see myself sit there for a good 12 weeks and train consistently for 12 weeks. And I'm going to get a DEXA scan and see what happens. And hopefully I put on a little bit of muscle mass. I really would like to put on 2 kilos of muscle mass. That might happen in a recomp, which is where we maintain our body weight, but we lose fat and we put on muscle. So in that case, I would lose 2 kilos of fat and gain 2 kilos of muscle. Or I might need to go into a build phase where I have to put on fat and muscle to make that happen. We shall see. We shall see. But what I'm expecting from this is that it's going to give me more reserves. It's going to make me more stress tolerant. So when I do go into my next caloric deficit, because I do want to lose more fat mass, and that's okay, I'd really like to get down to 25% body fat. I don't know if I want to lose any more than that. We'll see when I get there. But I would be really happy with 25% body fat. I don't have the desire to be super muscly and lean. I actually kind of like being a little bit soft and curvy. So 25% for me I'd be really happy at this stage. That still, though, includes, does mean I need to lose a good 5 to 8 kilos of fat to get to that and put on 2 kilos of muscle. So we'll see. Stay along for the journey. I guess I will do a little update on this and talk about what I've achieved once I've achieved it. But I hope this really encourages you to question, am I ready to lose weight? Do I really need to lose weight? Is it going to make me healthier if I lose weight? I'm pretty healthy. Like, I still have really good hormones. I train, I recover well from training. My fitness is really good. So is it going to make me healthier? Not really, to be honest. It's purely an aesthetic goal. I manage my blood sugar well. I can eat carbs. I have great periods. I have awesome libido. I'm 43 years old and I'm pretty hot for my husband. I have really good bowel movements 3 times a day. I sleep like a champion, like I dream, I sleep 8 hours straight. I get up in the morning, I feel well rested and I'm ready to seize the day. I am healthy already. I am healthy already. And this is really important. When you saying something to yourself, is it really true? Are you really not healthy, or are you really going to be healthy if you lose weight? Your unconscious mind is really tuned in to what is true. And if you're going to do something that's actually going to decrease your health, your unconscious mind will sabotage it for you, whether it be you do a caloric deficit and you don't lose weight because it's trying to preserve your metabolism, or whatever it is, it will do what it needs to do to protect you. I'm also going to be talking a lot on Instagram, and I might come back and do another episode on all the other things that you can focus on in your life. Because if we get really trapped into this idea of like my whole life is going to change if my body composition changes, that's a really dangerous place to be as well. My life is great. My husband is great. My house is, coming along with the renovations. It's beautiful. I'm really happy with it. I love my job. I love my business. The things that I need to work on in my personal life are having more time with girlfriends and spending more time doing my hobbies. I would get probably a lot more emotional satisfaction out of those, a lot more life satisfaction out of those two things than achieving my goal body weight. So I hope this has helped you work out whether you need to truly lose weight or not, or whether you need to build reverse diet, feed yourself more, put more into your exercise program, all of the things. I'm going to be covering a lot of this in the course and how to work out where you're at and where you need to go and set up a strategy or as to how you should be going about that. And I also offer one-on-one coaching to help you do this as well. So make sure you're on my mailing list or get in touch if you want to work with me one-on-one. I'm not taking on that many clients at the moment because I'm a bit full up and I'm also building the course. But stay tuned for the course. And also, please let me know if you have enjoyed this podcast and if it's what you want to hear. Please let me know how I can improve. I'm always looking to do better and inspire you guys. That's what I'm here for. And I'm here to remind you that the body never lies. You have the power to take your health into your hands and change it. Please, if you haven't already, go to wherever you're listening to this podcast and subscribe, rate, and review. And I look forward to hanging out with you next time in a couple of weeks. But in the meantime, there'll be another episode from a fabulous guest. And keep listening and tuning in, and make sure you tag me on Instagram and share your takeaways from this episode. Take care, everyone. Thanks for joining me.
I'm Leila Lutz, and you've been listening to The Body Never Lies. If you haven't yet, please go to your favorite podcast app and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. All the resources and references from this episode are waiting for you on my website, leilalutz.com. Just click on podcast and look for this episode. Now join me next week for another episode of The Body Never Lies. Thank you so much for listening.